Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Prachadine Nirvishesha Sanyavari Pasyachade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Not only because there's Radha Krishna deities, but because the Radha Krishna deities are worshipped with such devotion that you can't help but feel it. There's a family in New Jersey that have been part of our Tuaco congregation for years and years and years. Just like many of the devotees here, there's young devotees, young Todi children. So they think the Dugga family. For years and years and years and years, they one day out of the year they held the 24-hour kirtan, and it would start on a Saturday midday and go all night long and end at midday on Sunday. That nice prasadam, and everyone would go to the temple. So they did that so many years in a row that their children grew up. They went to college, they got married, and they were still doing 24-hour kirtan in their home. Then they decided, our children are gone, so they got a smaller house, a new house. And it was, I remember specifically, because I went to the 24-hour kirtan. I missed the 24-hour kirtan, so I went to their home the day after. That's what happened. New house, had never lived there before, and there was the inauguration of that use of that new house, housewarming, 24-hour kirtan. When I went to their home the next day, they shared something with me that was very astonishing. They said they have a maid, because they were a little older, and they had a maid come and clean the house after the event. And they were out while the maid was cleaning the house, and they came back, and they heard the maid singing Hare Krishna. And they asked the maid, you know, where did you learn singing Hare Krishna? Because she wasn't an Indian lady, it was a Hispanic lady or something like that, singing Hare Krishna. She said, I don't know. I just, when I came into the house, I just started singing Hare Krishna. From the vibration of the house, it was so moving that it just spontaneously she started singing that melody that she never knew the words of before. They were very surprised. The lady was very surprised too. Or those of you that have visited 26 Second Avenue, when you go there you feel something. Even they put in a new floor. I was given a piece of the old floor. Because they, you know, remodeled, because the floor was all torn up, and so they put new boards in. And so it's new paint, you know. They took the old paintings and they completely renovated, very costly, renovated all those old paintings so that they're preserved and look like, the idea was to have it look like it looked like when Prabhupada was there, exactly where his Vyasa son was, and the toilet right next to Prabhupada. Everything just as it was. But you enter there and you feel something. There's a Prabhupada's comment about Ahovalam. when the devotees went to Ahovalam, and you know, they went way up on top of one of the mountains, one of the peaks, and they were told by the local devotees, this is where Lord Nrisingadev broke out of the pillar, right here. So later they asked Srila Prabhupada, was it right there? Because wasn't it in Indraloka? Because Hiranyakashipu had taken over the kingdom of Indra, and he was occupying the palace of Indra. And that's where Hiranyakashipu was killed by Lord Nrisingadev. That's the pillar and the veranda and everything. Prabhupada's reply, I've had persons later disagree with me when I said this. They took an issue with me about saying this, but Prabhupada said it, that because the worship in Ahovalam has been done for such a long time with such devotion, practically speaking, it's not different. Or there's a description in the Puranas how Narada knew that even before he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Kayadu while Prahlad was in the womb of his mother, he knew that this is a great devotee, because Indra and the demigod, they had planned to like put her under house arrest, and when the child was born, finish off the child, because it's Hiranyakashipu Jr. But Narada said, no, this is a great devotee. So who was Prahlad before he was Prahlad? That's, he became a great devotee. One description is that Prahlad in his previous life was a brahmana, and as a young man he had some fling with a young brahmani, and they were going together in the forest, and he became attracted to lusty desires. And so he was making some place for them to sit down and enjoy together. So he cleaned a place, and it so happened that that was a old temple of Lord Nrisingadev. So he did some seva for Lord Nrisingadev, unknowingly, with a very different intention than doing seva for Lord Nrisingadev. And as these things go, she became unhappy about something and left. So he was very sad, and he fasted the whole rest of the day and the whole rest of the night. He couldn't sleep. And it happened to be Ekadasi. So he performed Nirjal Ekadasi on Ekadasi. And it, even unintentionally, performing Nirjal Ekadasi on Ekadasi, and even unintentionally, doing some seva for Lord Nrisingadev, he earned great credit from that little, those two little things. He had to take birth as the son of a daitya because of what his intention was. He had to take responsibility for that one. But even unknowingly engaging in service where the personality of Godhead has been served or will be served, it's very, very powerful. So what to speak of where there's deliberate devotional service, it's very powerful, and the benefit to the performer, and just like the the verse from Bhagavad Gita, Shubha Ashubha Palayar Eva Moksha Se Karma Bandhanai. In the purport of that verse, Prabhupada describes when there's a proper sacrifice, then the whole situation becomes transcendental. The performer of the sacrifice, the beneficiary unto whom the sacrifice is named, the place, the instruments, the brahmana who is performing the sacrifice, all become situated in transcendence. So an ordinary place can become a transcendental place by proper sacrifice. So a home can become a temple. If proper worship of Krishna is performed and the chanting of the holy name of Krishna is regularly performed, both, what to speak of combining them, then it acts in such a way that, provided one carefully guards against offenses, then the whole atmosphere becomes surcharged spiritually. And just by entering into that place, offering respect to the deity form of the Lord, chanting the holy name in that place becomes so much easier. The atmosphere becomes sanctified, and one's whole existence becomes spiritualized by proper combining of the Shravanam Kirtanam process with the Archanam process. Then something that's worldly becomes otherworldly and acts that way. Just like this idea of what is the instruments or implements that are used in worship, or the flowers, like we pass the flower after offering, or the lamp after offering. Why? There's some ritual involved, but what's the reason behind the ritual? The flame that's offered to the deity is not just fire, it's now sanctified, it's purifying. And the fragrance, it's not just a worldly scent because it's been offered to Krishna. It's like the four Kumaras when they came to the gates of Vaikuntha, to the sixth gate heading into the seventh gate, and they were checked by Jayan Vijay. They were not allowed to enter. But so they were outside the gate of Vaikuntha, but the Bhagavatam describes they simply smelled the fragrance of the sandalwood and the tulsi buds offered at the feet of the Supreme Lord. Just the fragrance brought them to the Bhagavan conception from the Brahman conception, and they became purified. So there was this dispute between Jai and Vijay and the Kumaras about whether they were eligible to enter. You're not devotees. It's not like, you know, not being allowed to go in the Jagannath temple because you're not Hindu. You're not a devotee. And their duty is to keep unqualified people out and give entrance to the qualified people. So the Kumaras were actually qualified because for that reason they had smelled the and had become attracted to the personality of Godhead through the sandalwood and tulsi buds, tulsi manjaris. Because they were anointing the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So deity worship is a very powerful process. It's meant to be joined, as I mentioned, with hearing and chanting. If you have some deity in your home or at your altar at your home, whether there's a deity form or picture form of a deity, you can know that it's very pleasing to the deity when you perform kirtan. It's nice to make nice offerings of foodstuffs and scented articles and so on. Very nice, and that, you know, that should go on. But that is especially to be accompanied with chanting. In his in Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami writes that all nine of the processes of bhakti, or any one of them, any one of the processes of bhakti, is sufficient for achieving spiritual perfection. Correct? Do you remember reading that? Nectar Devotion? Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Bandhanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam. These nine processes. All of them, or any one of them, or any combination of them, but even one of them alone is sufficient. That's what Rupa Goswami says. In his Sandarbhas, Jiva Goswami says, that's true, but they must also be accompanied by chanting. And preceding chanting is hearing. The Bhagavat Dharma process is hearing and chanting. Shravanam Kirtanam. And from that comes any of the other processes, or the qualification for doing any of the other processes is Shravanam Kirtanam. Just like deity worship. One shouldn't race forward very quickly to worship the deity without having the prior qualification. There should be prior qualification. Or look at how Srila Prabhupada established the Hare Krishna movement in the beginning. He didn't right away have deities. He didn't even bring deities for the devotees. They didn't know what deities were, but they knew what hearing and chanting was. And through gradual process of hearing and chanting, then he provided picture, panchatattva picture. He called it Guru Garanga. He called it Guru Garanga altar. Picture Srila Prabhupada, Guru, Paramaguru, and Panchatattva. And after some time, some deities of Gornatai or deities of Jagannath, not right away Radha Krishna. It was like, that was the graduate level. And then Radha Krishna worship. And the postgraduate level was, he writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita's, having Shalagram Shila on our altars in all of our ISKCON centers, one day we will all have. So hadn't happened at that time. And in our Chicago temple, it still hasn't happened. There's on the Nrisimha altar, or Jagannath altar, there's Tadiya, paraphernalia from a Jagannath temple, but it's not a Shila. Oh, someday. But the standard of worship for Radha and Krishna is much more stringent or serious or strict. Or be careful if you want contemplating having Radha Krishna deities in your home. But whatever the form of the deity is, it's a qualification for our purification to worship the deity is hearing and chanting. And then when the deity appears, the hearing and chanting is as for the pleasure of the deity. It's in a purified state of our consciousness. The chanting of the holy name in a purified state is very pleasing to Krishna. There's a story of the Alvars. There were three Alvars that had gone on pilgrimage, and during the rainy season they were caught in a big storm, such a big storm that there was no lights anywhere, and somehow they managed to take shelter in a very small room, and together in the dark, they were having Krishna Katha together, just discussing topics, spiritual topics. And they had not gotten to the point of going to take darshan of the deity. And they were contemplating going to the, when this storm breaks, they'll be able to go to take darshan of the deity. And because it was dark, they couldn't even see each other, but they somehow got a sense that there's now another personality in our midst. So they asked, who is this other personality in their midst? They said, light a candle and you'll see who that other personality was. And the other personality was the deity. Had come to where the chanting of the holy name was taking place, or the Krishna Katha was taking place. Krishna is attracted by our pure devotion. Sometimes at our temples, when people get, visitors come, they don't get it, you know, all the dancing and chanting and, you know, you've never seen this ritual before. What's going on? But what's going on is pleasing the deity. It's cleansing our heart. It's our process of cheta dharpana marjanam, bhava maha davagni nirvapanam, etc. Lord Chaitanya's instructions about the glories of chanting the holy name congregationally. Param vijayate Sri Krishna sankirtanam. But from Jiva Goswami's Sandarbhas, from that perspective, it's a necessary part of pleasing the deity. The converse is, if there's not arti, or not kirtan before the deity's not pleased. Certainly not in our temples, and is when you have deities in your home, try. Make some, as far as you can, some regular, even if it's small, some arrangement for kirtan for the deity. For their pleasure, specifically. And then also the activities of the home. Just like at a temple. The activities within the temple are very much fixed by the deity schedule. You rise at a certain time because it's time for worshipping the deity and having mangalarti and making offerings to the deity. And the on one hand, or in one sense, the doing such services in our very busy lives. It's in one sense, it's like another thing to do on top of the so many things that we have to do. And if one isn't prepared for that, then don't invite a deity in your home. You can, you know, have a more flexibility. But if you invite a deity into your home, it's like parents having a child. Nice idea to have a child, but then there's a lot of seva to take care of the child for a long period of time. But unlike a child, the child gradually can grow up and learn how to dress themselves and put their shoes on and eventually grow up and, you know, go to school and go out of the home. And the deity doesn't do that. The deity doesn't learn how to dress himself and go to school and get a job and get married and move out of the home. You invite a deity and it's a lifetime seva. And it should be done with some regularity and some devotion. And by so doing, not only offenses will be avoided, but one will develop a relationship with the deity. And the deity will give you shelter and solace in times of difficulty and inspiration, and so many devotional reciprocations will take place. you worship nicely. Just like the Qatar family. It's, how many years? 10 years. Celebrating, worshiping their deity in their home. That's why they, at the Naperville Center, they brought them. Because this past Sunday was the 10th anniversary of their worshiping their deity. And it was very meaningful for them. As the worship has been continuing, it doesn't... Like anything you do with attention over a period of time. It takes you past the mechanical and into the devotional realm. Otherwise you can't continue. I was just hearing Prabhupada in a recorded lecture describing... he was saying, even in a worldly sense, if someone, when they're young, they do lots of exercise, then even when they're an old person, they can do lots of exercise and it's very easy because of practice. So his point was, in a devotional way also, in the family where there are children and the children, along with the parents, are engaged in the worship of the deity, and it's not just a ritual, but it's something where there's some understanding and some genuine devotion, along with hearing and chanting about Krishna, then it's not a ritual that will, like, fade simply because, you know, the children are now grown up and I don't like doing what my parents do. It becomes not just part of your way of life. There's an attachment and a deep understanding, especially when the hearing and chanting accompanies the worship. The process that Srila Prabhupada has given us, or our acharyas have given us, is complete and very wonderful. By hearing and chanting the Bhagavat Marg, it brings one to the threshold of the Pancharatriki Marg, the worship path. And then the two strengthen or assist one another in helping the devotee to go forward towards the goal. The goal is to please Krishna. And a life that's filled with so many nice opportunities to please Krishna. So when coming to this house, I'm sure you were all thinking the same thing as I was thinking. This is a place where Radha and Krishna worship very nicely. Anybody that's had contact with the family here knows that. And anticipate coming and being in the atmosphere and worshiping together. Along with nice kirtan. I'm going to read a verse in purport from the Bhagavatam where Prabhupada speaks about this. Are they going to be making an offering? Jagatinanda? These items have to be offered, is that right?
Yeah, they are almost ready with after dressing the deities. So they bring them and they will offer them.
Okay, so 10, 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Text 22 from Chapter 3 of Canto 2, Pure Devotional Service, Change of Heart. Parhayate na nayane naranam lingani vishnur narikshato ye padanranam tau druma janma bhajo chetrani nano vrajato harir yao. The eyes which do not look at the symbolic representations of the personality of Godhead, Vishnu, parentheses, his forms, names, quality, etc., are like those printed on the plumes of the peacock, and the legs which do not move to the holy places where the Lord is remembered are considered to be like tree trunks. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Especially for the householder devotees, a few householder devotees, especially for the householder devotees, the path of deity worship is strongly recommended. As far as possible, every householder, by the direction of the spiritual master, must install the deity of Vishnu, forms like Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayana, or Sitaram especially, or any other form of the Lord like Vishringavaraha, Gornitai, Matsya, Kurma, Shalagram Shila, and many other forms of Vishnu, like Trivikram, Keshava, Achyuta, Vasudev, Narayana, and Damodar, as recommended in the Vaishnava Tantras, or Puranas. And one's family should worship strictly following the directions and regulations of Archana Vidhi. Get ready for this one. Any member of the family who is above 12 years of age should be initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, and all the members of the household should be engaged in the daily service of the deity beginning from morning 4 a.m. I don't hear anyone laughing about that. Till night, 10 p.m. 6 hours of rest. By performing Mangalarti, Niranjana, Archana, Puja, Kirtana, Shringara, Bhoga, Vaikali, Sandhya Arati, Pata, Bhoga at night, Shayana Arati, etc. Engagement in such worship of the deity under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master will greatly help the householders to purify their very existence and make rapid progress in spiritual knowledge. Why is he mentioning spiritual knowledge in relation to deity worship? Here's why. Simple theoretical book knowledge is not sufficient for a neophyte devotee. Book knowledge is theoretical, whereas the archana process is practical. Spiritual knowledge must be developed by a combination of theoretical and practical knowledge. And that is the guaranteed way for attainment of spiritual perfection. The training of devotional service for a neophyte devotee completely depends on the expert spiritual master who knows how to lead his disciple to make gradual progress toward the path back home, back to Godhead. One should not become a pseudo-spiritual master as a matter of business to meet one's family expenditures. One must be an expert spiritual master to deliver the disciple from the clutches of impending death. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has defined the bona fide qualities of a spiritual master, and one of the verses in that description reads, Shri Vigrahara Dhana Nityanana Shringara Tanmandira Marjanado Yuktasya Bhaktangs Chaniyanjato Pi Bande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Shri Vigraha is the archa, or suitable worshipable form of the Lord, and the disciple must be engaged in worshipping the deity regularly by Shringara, by proper dressing and decoration, as also by Mandira Marjana, the matter of cleansing the temple. the spiritual master teaches the neophyte devotee all these kindly and personally to help him gradually in the realization of the transcendental name, quality, form, etc. of the Lord. Paragraph. Only attention engaged in the service of the Lord, especially in dressing and decorating the temple, accompanied by musical kirtan and spiritual instructions from the scripture, can save the common man from the hellish cinema attractions and rubbish sex songs broadcast everywhere by radios. If one is unable to maintain a temple at home, he should go to another's temple, where all the above performances are regularly executed. Visiting the temple of a devotee and looking at the profusely decorated forms of the Lord, well-dressed in a well-decorated sanctified temple, naturally infuse the mundane mind with spiritual inspiration. So that's what we've done. We've come to a place that has all of that. And is this marking some period of time for when the deities arrived?
Deities arrived in March.
March. But today... Today's your birthday, right? So it's a special occasion for another reason. Happy birthday. May you have many more worshipping Radha and Krishna. Any discussion? Or we can just have kirtan, yeah.
Maharaj, you were explaining about the previous life of Radha Maharaj and how he was a Brahmana and he came under the sway of lust, and unknowingly he performed devotional service, because of which he got the opportunity to be Prahlad in his next life. I was wondering, is there any indication of... We hear that a devotee performs devotional service and then in the next life they have all these opportunities, but how was the rest of his life in the previous life?
Doesn't say. By the way, there are descriptions in the Bhagavatam. This other reference is not a Bhagavat Purana reference. It's another Purana. Bhakti Trumaraj and I have discussed this. In the Bhagavatam, it gives some indication that Prahlad Maharaj is a Vaikuntha resident. So, could be there's different manifestations of Lord Nrisimhadev, at which time there are different prahlads to assist him in his pastime, or for whom he appears in this world. I thought I should add that, because somebody may read the Bhagavatam and go, oh, but Maharaj said, and over here it says, and what's going on?
But even in our cases, we try our best to follow Ekadasis and fasting and all these. We don't see any immediate results. So can we also hope for something like that in our next life?
Yes. But it's not just, you know, something in your next life. It's pleasing the Lord. I mean, If Ramchandra does some nice chanting or something, are you supposed to like do a cartwheel for him or something? The Lord's not, the reciprocation with the Lord is not, he does something for us. That the something is our gain. We make a spiritual connection. We come to the platform, at least, you know, for some moment or moments, where a sense of real happiness, real joy, or coming closer to that position because of trying to please the Supreme Lord, that, you know, that's the reciprocation in itself. The real happiness is a loving relationship. And moving closer to that loving relationship, that's the best. Anything else?
Maharaj, you mentioned different forms of Lord Vishnu. One that you mentioned is Kalakramasila. I want to know something more about that.
What something more about that would you like to know?
Like when you mentioned about Varaha Narasimha, I know some stories about that, some background. I don't know anything about Kalakramasila. What is the background about that?
Okay. Those forms of the Lord, they're Leela avatars, and there's deity forms of those Leela avatars, and one can worship those Leela avatar forms of the Lord. Shalagram, it doesn't require installation. Forms of the Lord require installation. We're in a, according to the revealed scripture, processes of purification and inviting the Lord to come and reside or preside and receive one's worship directly. Pran Pratishtha is performed. Shalagram doesn't require that. The Shalagram, Shila, is already Narayana. The Shalagram Shilas are found, it's described in the Bhagavatam, but there are other places to describe very elaborately, the Gandaki River, and in the base of the Gandaki River, there are Shilas, and one can take those Shilas and worship them. Like Govardhan Shila. Govardhan is a mountain. Govardhan is Krishna, and Shalagram is Narayana. So, on our altars, where there's Shalagram Shila along with Radha and Krishna, on the appearance days of Varaha, Nrisingha, Matsya, Korma, etc., that Vishnu Murti forms, or the Leela avatars, one can worship Shalagram Shila in that mood of worshipping Ramchandra or whoever, and the personality of Godhead receives your worship according to that mood. So you perform Abhishek just like we did of Shalagram, and you're worshipping according to that mood of your worship, the Ishtadev that you're worshipping at that time. For grihasthas that have deities in their home, there's sometimes, or maybe even stronger saying commonly, there's a question, what do I do when I go out of the home? And the tradition was the Brahmana would take his Shalagram Shila, his deity would remain. He'd take his Shalagram Shila and worship his Shalagram Shila wherever he was, and the worship goes to his deity at home. Then he returns home and he places the Shalagram at the feet of the deity and worships Shalagram along with the deity. That help?
Yes, how do we, like, you said that the Gandaki River?
Gandaki. You want to go there and get some Shalagrams?
No, like, when it says Shiva, like, you might find something which is not Shalagrams.
Yeah, Brahmanas, they're very qualified Brahmanas that can guide you. That's good, isn't it? Be guided by Brahmanas, qualified Brahmanas. And then according to the markings, those that are very expert at Shalagram worship, they can tell you, this is a Damodar Shila, this is a Nrisinga Shila, this is a Varaha Shila, etc. Just by looking. Anyone else? Yes.
Let me ask a practical question. Being a grahastha, most of the Mahajans were grahasthas, but being a grahastha, I find it very difficult to have a regular program because of, being a grahastha with children and being in an IT job, something or other comes. So only my morning is packed, so that is the only time I can do anything, but after that, like, I cannot say what is going to happen during the day. What steps should I take? If I miss the morning, my whole day is gone. That's the focus in the morning that I do, but otherwise it's very difficult in the evening to do anything or during the day. So it's like a practical question, like, how to balance this? Because there is like a wave that comes and, everything changes because it's sometimes morning something happens and, I have to attend to that and, then every schedule changes. So it's kind of very difficult to adjust more often. It's more of a personal question too, so.
One day Madhava will grow up. That irregulation is part of the, you would say, the responsibility or the price for taking on a small child to raise the child for some part of life, some part of the childhood of that young member of the family, there's irregulation. It's not only that Madhav is the cause of everything that's irregular in the family, but I'm sure that's, he has a big share, something. But it's, something related to business or something related to a relative or something or something or something. So, ideal is you as the head of the household and following you, the family members, respect that part of the day as far as possible. And if something, whatever this is, you're asking a practical question, so a practical consideration is people that that know you, either work or family or whatever, they should know that, this hour, that hour, please don't interrupt. Hari Vilas, I know what he does. He just unplugs his phone and shuts off his cell phone, and people can't reach him during that time. They know that they can't reach him during that time because he unplugs his phone and shuts his cell phone off. And he's just like, that's sacred. I'm chanting. This is sacred time. Just please don't interfere. even if it's emergency, you have it later. Just, you know, that's sacred time. So that's a practical consideration. Become very fixed in determination. Others, not like, you know, forced respect, but risk, you know. And Miss Kishori and your wife will respect that. And as much as she can, she'll take care of Madhava. But you just set a time that's what you do. It's practical. What do you think?
The chanting in the morning is not a problem because I try to finish everything by 6:30 before Madhava wakes up. So that is okay. The problem that comes with hearing or reading, so that is where a lot of disturbances come. And because if you try to do something in the evening, it may be like today we have to go for shopping, or you know something else comes and we have to go there, and you know all those disturbances come, and you know then the regularity goes. Okay, today I cannot do this, and you know I'll focus on about that on next day. You know, so there is an interruption in that. And I don't know how to bring that to regularity. Only if I wake up a little more early I can do everything, but that's very difficult for me to. Then I cannot go on with my day duties.
Well, the answer to that is it possible to take rest earlier so that you can get up earlier? And, you know, the answer to that is try incrementally. If you try to do something that's like radical, you won't be able to, but try incrementally. And as you move, the family moves. Just like, same thing, just like earlier. As I move around, I find there are families that stay up very late. And there are some families that take rest at a, you know, nice hour, and some families take rest at a very early hour. And those families that take rest at a very early hour, they're very regulated in their rising. They do so because they want to rise in the morning. And as they do, then their children, or child or children, take rest early because the whole family does it. And then there's this morning time where it's, you know, it's the best time. There's one family that live in Bombay. Now they've moved to Andhra Pradesh, but for a while they were living in New Bombay. And the both husband and wife are describing to me they had experimented different ways of, you know, with a small child, keeping themselves regulated. And they found the way the short of his message was, the earlier there were times when even at 2 o'clock in the morning, he took rest early enough so that at 2 o'clock in the morning, they didn't have, you know, a big community of things going on because they were at New Bombay when it was like it wasn't what it is today. And it was the best, both in terms of, well, in terms of sadhana certainly, in terms of feeling spiritually charged, work, family, you know, the whole family atmosphere was best. Least amounts of disturbances and problems, and the greatest amount of harmony and, you know, joy in the family situation at home. And, you know, his wife was, you know, it wasn't a difficulty for her. She liked also. And then something happened with his health, so it got like off. And then it stayed off. And, you know, and everything was difficult. And went on for some time struggling and, you know, spinning, and then they both realized, wait a minute, let's go back to this one. So they went back to that one. And it, you know, night and day difference. So, in going, moving things in that direction can be very helpful. Because the more there's spiritual charge in the morning, spiritual charge in the family, you know, material problems either become, they subside, or they're more easily worked out because of that spiritual focus and spiritual strength. And then let's see what happens with the evening, but at least, you know, something in the morning. It's good, more than good. It's recommended for a family because of your, you know, your obligations. It may not be something that you can personally take part in, although if you can, that's great. But something that your wife can do every evening, something simple. I mean, really short, but something. Something. A little short arti, little kirtan, and the kids take part. Little, you know, little story, or hearing something, and kirtan, or you know, chant one round of japa together. But just like something that's every day, it becomes an everyday thing, as far as possible, allowing for all the other things that happen in life. Ready for arti?
Thank you.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai. Gaurinath Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj ki
jai.